Good evening, Patriots. So next week, 26th to the 29th of August, is Bard's Fest, which is likely to be one of the greatest revivals in our history, if not human history. And it's an event that you don't want to miss. We need as many Patriots there as possible. You can go to bardsfest.com to get your tickets or just make a donation. Remember, tickets for the event are donation-based, meaning you choose the price. There's no fixed price for tickets. One ticket is good for all 4 days, and it's a 4-day festival. We want to see as many people there as possible. So head on over to bardsfest.com, get your tickets, and if you are not going to attend and you feel compelled to donate, we would be greatly appreciative of your donations. This is a completely donation-based event now. And outside of personal resources I put in, it is a donation-based event, and it's powerful, and it's part of what makes this so special is because it's about all of us coming together to bring God into this world and the celebration of God in this world. It's an event we need right now. We're drifting right now in a sea of spiritual void. We're lost in a spiritual desert, and we're wandering, and we truly need to have a point where we all come together to pray, to humble ourselves before God, to celebrate His love, to listen to the many great voices of the pastors that will be there, to listen to the many great voices of the speakers that will be there, to enjoy that time together in fellowship with family and friends, and to really rekindle that strength of who we are as a people. So head on over to bardsfest.com, get your tickets or make a donation today, and let's make this one of the greatest, seriously, one of the greatest revivals in human history. On Friday, the 27th, Mike Lindell will be speaking, and that's the day we're declaring to be Slipper Revolution Day. On that day, a couple of things are going to happen. One, Mike Lindell's speaking. We're going to honor him with slippers. So we hope that all the Patriots are buying and supporting him through MyPillow and MyPillow.com or FrankSpeech.com. You can use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. It's an amazing opportunity to continue to support one of America's great patriots. I mean, who would have thought that a pillow guy would be considered a threat to national security? And here we are. This is the world we live in. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. So Mike's going to be speaking on that day. We're going to celebrate with Slipper Revolution. We're honored to have him. It's going to be a great speech. And it's a time to really celebrate all these stories that we have, that people come together and how we're supporting one another to make this fight work. So in that sense, with MyPillow, the left thought they crushed him. They've attacked him so many times. So we need to continue to keep up our support for him. Nothing better to give a lefty a MyPillow for Christmas. They might need it anyway if they've taken the injection. So head on over to MyPillow.com or FrankSpeech.com and use your BARDS code, B-A-R-D-S, for some amazing savings. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our world, as God intended, was based on giving, and to be giving endlessly from our heart, not with reservations and not with concerns, but to give endlessly, because God created a world that had infinite possibility. We were His children, and if we trusted in Him, as He has always assured us, then all would be provided. But we know that's not the way the world works. And we know that since the fall and the fallen, we've been at war on this earth, and it's been an evil, an unprecedented level of evil that has tried to corrupt and destroy God's creation, us. In this time and place in which we live, we are now witnessing the full depth and breadth of this evil. And I think we can all say it's been a bit stunning. it was easy to look at the deep state and deal with it as kind of an amalgamous, almost shadowy figure, organization, whatever you want to call it, something out of James Bond. A deep state that was everywhere lurking around, but always at these kind of corporate elite levels with spy, counter spy, and with deep plants and agents provocateur and all these things. I think what most of us never imagined is that the deep state was in your backyard. It was your city council member that took a trip to China. It was your congressman, your congressional rep or state rep that suddenly gets elected on one platform and then turns against you or suddenly becomes a Christian hater or something. We've seen this happen time and again. And it's truly what is, to me, the real invisible enemy. It's not the fake scamdemic. It's not this fear porn nonsense around the coronavirus or now the latest with the Delta variant, which is just those that are taking the injection getting sick, covering it with a new variant. We're dealing with a level of evil that has settled itself in people's hearts and minds. And it's done so out of a void of what people believe and who they are. We are children of God, and we're hardwired to worship and to seek. God gave us the choice of free will and the choice to question in the world, but ultimately it was his intent that we would come back to him by our own choice, by our free will, after we explored the world, and come back to realize how significant our relationship is with him and how essential it is for our life. But over the years, there's been a very engineered attack on that, and it's been very successful in convincing people, persuading people, deceiving people into the believing that God does not exist. And they've replaced God with this new church called science. This is a church that's very rigid, actually. It doesn't have any sort of empirical studies. It doesn't have any sort of debate. It's a church where things about the earth and the climate and the way that we work in our body, it's decided by a few, and then we're told what the answer is, and we're told we cannot debate it. We can't discuss it. We can't challenge it. That church has taken prominence in people's lives. And that church is one that has settled in very deeply into people's hearts to make them believe that this is their only chance, their only time in life. They live one life. And this is it. And after it's all over, they just go into darkness or something. And this darkness that they live in is so fearful to certain people and to many people. The unknown is so fearful to them that they're making choices now to preserve their life from the threat of something that had less than 0.1% death rate. That's the world that we're fighting against. And we are fighting against it because that world wants to see us exterminated. I don't know if you've heard, but Australia is already building COVID concentration camps. They're not calling them that. They're calling it protection camps or some nonsense like this, relocation centers, health centers, whatever they want to name it. They're COVID concentration camps, meaning those that don't take the vax to protect themselves will be relocated to secure areas to protect the main population. And they're openly stating that your freedom, your pathway to freedom is to take the injection. Don't think that that isn't coming here. And unless we're blessed by some intervention at some point, we are going to have to face that threat here because that's on our horizon. And it's going to take the unity and strength of patriots to stand up and stand too to stop such a threat. But they're coming. It's already on their agendas. CDC's published it on their website. Camps are already being constructed in Mexico, in New Mexico and Arizona. Don't think it's not happening. The question is ultimately who wins the end of that game. The world that we live in right now is a battle between good and evil. This evil has been around longer than we have memory. And the good forces have been around more than we've realized. But it's a spiritual war at the center of this. And the victory of this is the ownership of our soul. And yes, we do have a choice in it. As these two sides battle, the choice is really quite simple. And it comes fundamentally down to this. We are either worshiping a God, the one God, the one true God, and doing so with salvation through the acceptance of Christ in our heart, or we're worshiping a system that happens to be run and controlled and engineered by the people that truly hate humanity and want to do nothing more than corrupt it and destroy it. For some, that idea of worshiping a system is the only thing they can imagine. They can't imagine a God because they've been told their whole life that God doesn't exist. And they've done the types of arguments that go with that are things like, pray and what do you see happen? And people look and they're looking around. They say, well, I prayed for a car and I didn't get a new car. I prayed for a new job and I didn't get a new job. Because everything in the terms of the way God is presented ends up being some sort of material compensation or benefit that comes about through the relationship with him, which is completely a lie. But unfortunately, that lie is very persistent. People will say, well, I prayed for God and my daughter still died of cancer. I prayed to God and my wife got sick and had to have a tumor removed. I don't know. And their logic is that if God can't solve immediate things, God does not exist. And yet we know that's so not true. We are not of this world, simply doing missions in this world. And even more than that, when we start talking about ailments or we start talking about financial issues, this is part of the experience in this world. And unless we're willing to make the break from the world and truly trust in God in all things, we can't keep dipping one toe in one side and one toe in another and expect to get positive results. So back to those examples. As an example where someone says, I prayed to God and my daughter still died of cancer. Well, first of all, that's a much bigger issue in the health of healing, especially since cancer is being created by the sort of pollutants in our environments. The question is, what can God do in those places? How far can God go? How far can the blood of Christ heal? Well, we know it's infinite in what it can do, but what is the true relationship a person has with God? And what is God's intent with that child? That doesn't discount God in any way. Matter of fact, it makes God stronger. What it shows is the desire of people to always have somebody fix things for them. God's not a fix-it agent. He's not a credit card. He's a walk and a process that we all tie to because we're all part of him. So we have to have a responsibility and accountability in our life. But that's a very difficult thing in this day and age. People don't want to be accountable. And hence we see this mass migration of people taking the injection, which sadly, the answers are fairly clear. Some of those that took the injection, a large percentage of those that took the injection, will be dead within 3 years. That's not a question to debate. It's simply a reality. And barring a biblical level, God level event to intervene, those people that took the injection will be dead in 3 years. That's a tragedy. But it's a tragedy that centers itself on the fact that too many people over the years walked away from God. And whether or not one wants to interpret this as a moment of wrath or one simply wants to interpret this as a moment where people are willfully being deceived, the end result is the same. There's going to be a lot of carnage, a lot of suffering. So right now, our greatest mission in this world is to try to find the ways, and I shouldn't even say try, is to speak the truth and allow God to work through us to try to find the remnant that we can that's out there. There are many that we are going to be able to bring back, and they will join the ranks of the remnant. But right now, there's many that are lost. There are many that will stay within the matrix. They are not going to leave. They have no intention of it. You could have somebody die on you and tell them this is why it happened. Maybe they die of a blood clot. Maybe they die of a heart attack. And you'll tell them, you could ask them a simple question. Did your friend or did your loved one take the injection? And if they don't want to hear it, they're going to be like, this is an inappropriate question. You should not be asking me. I don't have any Of course he took it, but that's not what caused it. They don't want to confront that truth. What makes that more difficult is this type of studies and autopsies that are being done are not going to try to prove or even look at the idea that it was a vax-caused death. And that's kind of the magic of the cabal magic of what's happening right now, is that people by their own free will, which I would probably translate by their own stupidity, took the injection, driven by a multitude of reasons, fear, acceptance, the concept of just wanting to get it over with and being part of the crowd, whatever that is. People took this injection, not motives driven by God, but motives driven by self, and there's going to be a penalty for that. And the cost was going to be life or death. Meaning that if they took it, they may live a life, but the life will be hampered. But more likely, it will result in death. So these are heavy times. They weigh heavy on all of our hearts. We know this. We feel this. And as we walk along, we're very aware of the weight that's put upon us, which makes this time and place equally opportune. When you have a moment like this where we feel that weight, I truly feel that part of that weight is that we're feeling also what God is feeling. God is not celebrating this walking away of his children. God is not celebrating the loss and death of his children because they chose to walk away from him and chose to be deceived. And as we tie closer to God, that becomes a substantial weight that we each share. And sadly, we carry that burden, and we carry it with God. Such is my opinion. The sad part is that God has always provided a way out, if we believe, and yet so many people don't. So in the midst of this fear, in the midst of this crazy fear, all people had to do was trust in him, as we well know. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of an escape that you may be able to endure it. Notice the word endure. It isn't said in there that you will be able to celebrate it or you will be able to relax. It's to endure. And to endure is a heavy word. It's a word that of carrying a burden, of carrying a weight, of waiting your time to get through it. That's literally the way out many times. So in the midst of this anxiety and panic and fear, people chose the easy route out, which is the wide gate, the easy path, the path to destruction. And that particular passage proves to be so apropos in this period of time, it's almost stunning how accurate it always is. But that is a passage that needs to be in forefront of us all the time, is the difference between the wide gate and the narrow gate. The wide gate is an easy path. The wide gate is a path that lures us, draws us in, because it offers those things that make us feel good in that tempted moment. And when we're burdened with anxiety and fear or anger and hatred, those emotions weigh heavy. And so we seek an out, and people are doing this now. They're seeking an out. And what do they choose? They choose the injection. Not everybody's taking the injection. Obviously, there's an increasing pushback and resistance, which is miraculous. But it doesn't change the fact that there's many that have. And in this time when those people now are turning on their fellow brethren, those people now are looking at their brethren and saying things like, yes, these people that didn't take the injection need to be locked up. Yes, these people that didn't take the injection need to be relocated. Yes, these people that didn't take the injection need to be punished, need to have their access to food denied, need to have their access to basic services denied. They shouldn't be allowed to exist as human beings within this world. It is just stunning. And I think most of us sit back And we totally shake our head in amazement of how quickly the Fourth Reich took hold within a large portion of our populations. The sad part is that the country has been not only divided, but it is scarred by those very people. They're the ones that have decided to push the narrative of division and hatred. They become absolute hand puppets of the cabal, and they don't even realize it. And the question then we all have to ponder at one point or another is, where do we go from here? What do we do? We literally are at a point in time when there are two sides of this world. There are those that simply will not accept anything other than injection and having everybody else rounded up and stuck in a camp. Or worse, having the military come in and forcibly break down the doors, force people down on the ground and inject them against their will. And then we have the other side, our side, the remnant that has put its foot down and says, under no circumstances will you inject me. We've taken up the advocation of saying that, you know, because God would not take it, but God would not want us to, we won't take it. And with that, we've gained our knowledge and awakening and awareness to what is really going on. The agendas behind this, the idea that Gates and his cronies in Pfizer, Moderna, and other industries are interested in not just creating injections and mass billions of dollars of wealth, but they're also most interested in eugenics and the destruction of humanity and the reduction of populations for their own devious means and ends. That's our world. But those that stand outside the injection are standing firmly on the place that they will not participate in that other world. That's the bifurcation. That's the two worlds. The question is, can we heal them and bring them together? And I don't know the answer to that. That's where I say that this is truly a biblical event, because really only person that can heal it is God. Only person is on the right term. The only entity that can heal it is God himself. And that's where we are. So that requires us to do a more vigilant job, to dig deeper into our relationship with God. It requires us to become more dedicated to our prayers, for us to become more absolved in the unity with him. It requires us to take a hard look at our own lives and look at every aspect, from our material wealth to our salaries to the what we put our obsession on in our life with hobbies and time. It requires us to look deeply at the way, at even what we invest in and what our daily activities are, because woven around our lives are these so many traps and triggers and booby traps that we don't even take time to reflect on what each one of those means in relationship to God. We can tease ourselves all day long. But here's a simple fact. If you have a loan, and I think, or an outstanding bill on a credit card, most do, not all, but most do, you are involved and engaged, regardless of whether you like it or not, or whether you tell yourself you're involved and engaged in a Luciferian system. And as long as those hooks hold us, they're going to hold us back. There's no easy way out of some of this. We got ourselves into this pit we're going to have to dig out. But I think that the analysis or at least metaphor of how this world is going to change is a good example of how you pay down a bill. We've dug ourselves into a deep financial pit spiritually. We're in debt spiritually. We're not sitting on the positive end of this. Matter of fact, we've been running in the red line for a long time. It's going to take us a long time to dig out. On one hand, there can become an instantaneous moment like that where God can make his move in the world and suddenly everything can transform. But that's not going to happen by itself. And I would argue that it wouldn't. There's no precedence in the Bible where that happens by itself without people going through some form of suffering and pain. It's the trial that is necessary. And because through trial, you get acceptance of your accountability. Through trial, you learn the process of responsibility. And with that, the penalties for violating the laws of God. This is an age of accountability and consequence. And we're living in that age, and it's not easy to live in it because we all want a happy ending. We all want this fairy tale ending that goes out here, and when we say it, we want it to all end well, be easy, make us all happy again. But that's not a story that's in the Bible. Not the easy endings. And I doubt that life has very many easy endings. This is a story of struggle, of a fight, of a deep, deep fight that we all are carrying. And it's a decision that each one of us is making on a daily basis of whether we want to pursue this fight in the name of the Lord or whether we want to step out and check out and take the easy gate and ignore it. There's not that many that can stay in the arena. There's not that many that can stand and fight. But we need as many as it can stand. And whether that's 3 or 300 or 3,000 or 330,000 or 300,000, at the end of the day, that group, whatever that group represents, will be the group that manages to reclaim this world in God's name. Now, that's a fairly bold statement, and it's one that, for many, is going to make them feel uneasy. But at the time that we sit right now, we have to work very diligently at working our way, our relationship back with God and our love of Christ in a daily way that we are bold and living in the world with it. We have to recalibrate and reassess every single thing we do, from the job that we hold, to the relationships that we have, to the money that we spend. Stewardship about everything in our lives. And when we run into something that doesn't fit anymore, we either have to work with it to bring it forward with us, or we have to cut it and remove it. You can't have the anchors holding you back in a time like this. This is time to clean the slate, because each one of us has to step onto the battlefield with one focus in our heart: our Lord and King, Jesus Christ, and through Christ to the Father. It's that simple. And no matter where you are put on the battlefield, no matter what you've been asked to do, you have to do it with ruthless compassion or ruthless dedication and unwavering passion. And you cannot hesitate to follow that path. The more that we listen to God, we start to realize how quickly he's moving, how fast he's repositioning the pieces on the board, the resources he's flowing into this to make these things happen. But it takes everything that we are and getting rid of all the things that hold us back to step into that space to be successful. And we know those things. They're the obsessions of the material world. The exercise I mentioned the last couple nights ago, which was a simple one. It's an important one. Go through the list of everything in your life. You can do a mental checklist. You can do it by walking through your house. Ask yourself what in that group of things that you see you can walk away from right now, as if somebody came knocking at your door like the angels against Locke and they said, "We have to go now." What items do you find yourself unable to let go of? That's where prayers are the most effective tool right then, is to unlock what that is that's holding on to you and to let it go. God's not asking us to live without anything in the world or to live in poverty. He wants us to be prosperous. But the biggest part about all of this is our relationship to things. How much control do things have over us versus God? How much time do we spend on things rather than our relationship and dedication to God? How much do we obsess over the loss of things versus the relationship we have with God? This is so important to look at this way, because we become so fundamentally skewed based on a culture of material consumption, which has no relevance in heaven. There is no relevance. And that's the most amazing thing. We enter this world naked, we exit this world naked. There is not, what we have in between is irrelevant. It's just things. It doesn't mean there aren't things in our life. It doesn't mean that we don't enjoy doing things with those things. But when those things, whatever they are, start taking precedence over your relationship with God, we've walked down the dark path. And right now, as we look around the world and we see this ridiculous events and chaos that are occurring because it's by our own hand, it's a time that we have to deeply reflect on who we are as a nation and who we are as a person. The material world has produced an outcome of a nation, along with many other things that have contributed to that, that has little regard at all for God at any level. It's a tragedy, and it hurts. I would hope that everyone feels that pain. We used to be a very proud and God-loving nation, regardless of what our politicians were like. Not that long ago, we still had God at the center of who we were as a country. But anymore, God's a sideshow at best, a grave at worst. And people don't want to hear or believe that God has any effect in their lives. And that's therein lies our challenge, because we're not given the antics like parlor tricks of quick healing or floating dishes or bending a spoon or whatever nonsense is like that. We're given the conviction to our walk with God, and we have to trust in that to find our way through these massive walls and massive resistance to what is actually going on. How we choose to engage people and expand God's kingdom, that's a position each one of us has to pursue through prayer. There is no cookie-cutter solution, and yet it must be done. And we have to continue to pursue all of that for the sake of his kingdom. None of this is about us. That's the whole thing. None of it. It's all about him. It's about all about our Lord Jesus Christ, and through Christ to the Savior, to our Father. Because that connection, that bridge that we have together, is what allows us to start reclaiming this world in his name. I want nothing more than to see this nation rise again to a position of prominence, but prominence not led by some sort of high-speed aircraft or ability with artificial intelligence or waging war because we have more battleships or whatever that is. We need to rise again as a nation that knows, understands that we're going to defend ourselves at any cost, that we're going to place God first in all things, and that we're going to live a country with a set of the relationship through God that holds us accountable to him, and in so doing, becomes an example for the rest of the world. None of that is easy. And none of it will come easy unless a few, a remnant, start making the hard sacrifices necessary to get there. When you drag out a conflict like this over years, which it has been, it becomes a point where it becomes very exhausting. But one of the most amazing things, if you look across this nation, and I consider it truly a demonstration of God's power and his grace, is that in spite of being the most well-armed nation in the world, the group that has most of those weapons is the same group that has been targeted by vicious abuse by the left, and is the same group that has waged peace rather than war. That's something to celebrate. And it's an example of how God's hand is working in amazing ways. So it's time for us to stand. We have to stand with Christ in our heart. We have to begin our march to take this country back. We can't hesitate. We have no time. The clock is ticking down. We're in the fourth quarter. 2 minutes on the clock, two touchdowns down. The question is, how are we going to pull the plays to pull this country back? I believe we can. And I believe one of our first big plays is about to happen next week, the 26th to the 29th of August. You have to be there. You have to be online, because we need to bring together the power of prayer and the patriots across this globe to refocus our purpose and intent here. What does it say, even if we follow the left's narrative that we came from some primordial soup as a fish with the little legs and crawled up on the bank and suddenly grew into an ape, and then the ape became a human? That's that evolutionary stuff. But what does it say about humankind with all of that design by Mother Nature, as they would say, with all of that sophisticated evolution by Mother Nature, to now look at human beings as just a random, strange event, an anomaly, with the sole purpose of existing on this planet, to get a good job, to earn a bunch of cash, and then to hopefully live long enough to be able to spend the cash on your retirement doing nothing. That's not a country that lives on the foundations and morals of Christianity. That's a country that lives on the relationships and morals of its own ego and self. And that's part of the deep reflection we all have to make. This fight can be won and will be won if we stay dedicated and true to the path and listen to God in each step. But it requires that we're also honest with one another to determine truly where those snares are. It's not enough to just give another excuse to yourself as to what it is or isn't, when another time is that you're going to get rid of one of these. Maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's the next day, it's now. Everything is on the table now. And we're at that red line that we have to stand and make our full commitment to Christ in this walk, or we might as well step out because we're going to get rolled up. Between the attack of COVID and the following on second attack of the injection, followed by the chaos that just ensued, first on November 3rd with the stolen election, and now with this debacle in Afghanistan, the United States is on the very cusp of being eradicated from history and becoming just a tagline on the bumps in history of experimental things that failed. We are literally that close. We're at that point now when the body has been medically dead for a time long enough that they're about ready to proclaim permanent death. And we have to either make our decision, and the brain has to start again, and the heart has to kick in again, and we have to start breathing, and breathing on our own fast, or we're literally just going to be pushed into another flame to turn ourselves into a pile of ashes that are going to be spread on the wind. All those decisions will rest on the shoulders of a few. Not because we're arrogant, not because we're privileged, but because we hold a true path with God as a remnant. That we've hopefully, all of us, have cast away our obsession of military material things. And in casting that away, we've established that the only possession that we seek is the love of God in our heart. And the only true walk that we have in this world is through the body of Christ. And if we can truly accept that, then you can look at your house and you can look at your things and your car, and if God called you and said it is time to go, sell it all, you could sell it all and walk to the path where God wants you. And if we consider how short our life actually is here in terms of the time span of life and man, that's a small price to pay when we've been given the opportunity to have life everlasting at his side. So in this time of chaos, this time of upheaval and hard reflections on who we are as a nation, equally take time to reflect very deeply on where you are. Be honest with yourself about what hooks and snags are holding you back. Be truthful with yourself, and with the process of being truthful with yourself, invite God to read your heart and join in that conversation. To be able to identify those things within you that you know need improvement. But it isn't a matter of holding your shoulders low or bowing down or being guilty, because that's not what we're doing here. This is straight up self-critique, not to be in a place where we are a sinner holding our head down in misery, but an acceptance that we all sin. And now we must find those places where we seek to improve, and doing that through our worship and salvation through Christ and to Father. When we can embrace that path to understand that we are going to fall, God knows that. But as long as we're truthful with him and persistent on this path, we become the light that many need to draw them out of darkness. And in the end, that's the only thing that's going to matter. No matter what the government, no matter what form of government, our job never changes: to occupy the land and to expand God's kingdom. And to do so with the acceptance of Christ in our heart and humbly at his feet, praying for the healing of this nation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for the blessings given in this time to allow us to see clearly, with eyes to see and with ears to hear. We can truly see where the evil is, and we can truly see as well where we are in our own hearts. Give us the grace to look deeply within our soul. Give us the strength to confront the demons that fill us all. And in the end, allow us to be truthful with ourselves in such a way that we can move to a place where nothing holds us except our love for you, so that in the flash that we could leave this world and walk where you need us to be, regardless. Guide us, protect us in this time, Lord. We ask for your complete and ever overwhelming clarity in the life that we live. Let us understand more and more our purpose as we operate in this world and knowing we are not of this world. And let us continue to have the diminishing pieces of materialism slip from our lives, so that our only obsession becomes our true love with you. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, the road is long, but the one amazing thing is a quote that I've always held in my heart and I've repeated here a couple of times. Through God, transformation can be instantaneous. So let's not give up hope in a time when things seem to be so dark, because it's typically in those moments that the greatest changes occur. This is a time to press into those that want the vax and the injection, to challenge them, not only with the facts, but to have them look honestly and realistically at what's unfolding in a place called Afghanistan, and to challenge them to be honest about this president, their feelings, their sentiments, to have them accept the fact that they have to see clearly, they have to quit living within an illusion, and they have to realize that what's going on here is ultimately going to end any hope that they may have of a new world. Because this is not about them. It's not about the people of this land. It is about them, those that control all things. And it's about exterminating humanity for their benefit and, most disgustingly, for their pleasure. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. God is with us. He will never forsake us. We must continue to walk with him, press into him, and in the process, letting God work through us so that he brings the ultimate victory to this land. So I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, thank you. Good night. God bless. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. sets down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.